Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, the podcast where we cover all the pop culture we love to hate, from the classic reality TV moments of the past and present to the latest Daily Mail headlines and everything in between. We'll dive into all the infamous and notorious messes you can't stop watching. I'm looking at you, Jax Taylor. I'm your host, Ryan Bailey.
Two, bring it to the folk. Snoop Doggy Dogg and Dr. Drink is at the dope. Ready to make an entrance, so back on up.
Before I have to pull the strap off the cut.
Give me the microphone first so I can bust like a bubble. Compton and Long Beach together, now you know you in trouble. Cause ain't nothing but a G-Bang, baby. Two low-down G's, so we're crazy. Death Row is the label that pays, man. Unfadable, so please don't try to fake this. But back to the lecture at hand. Perfection is perfected, so I'ma let them understand. From a young G's perspective. And before me, they got a trick, I have to find a contraceptive. You never know, she could be earning her man, and learning her man. And at the same time, burning her man. Now when she burning, I'ma chill for a minute. Cause ain't no loving good enough to get burned while I'm up in it. And that's realer than real deal, holy feel. And now you hookers and hoes know how I feel. Well, if it's good enough to get broke off a proper chunk, I take a small piece of some of that funky stuff.
It's like this and like that and like this, and it's like that and like this and like that. And it's like this and like that and like this, and Drake creep to the mic like a fan. Well, I'm peeping and I'm creeping and I'm creeping, but I damn near got kept, cause my beeper kept beeping. Now it's time for me to make my impression felt. So sit back, relax, and strap on your seatbelt. You've never been on a ride like this before. With a producer who can rap and control the maestro. At the same time, with the dope rhyme that I get, you know and I know I force some more funky shit to add to my collection. The selection symbolizes don't take a toke, but don't joke. If you do, you have no clue of what me and my homie Snoop Dogg came to do.
It's like this and like that and like this and it's like that and like this and like that and it's like this.
And we ain't got no love for dogs.
So just chill to the next episode. Gangsta lean, getting funky on the mic like an old batch of collard greens. It's the capital S O S oppression, double OP, D-O-double-G-Y-D-O-double-G, you see. Showing much flex when it's time to wreck a mic. Pippin' holes and clackin' a grip like my name was Dolomite. Yeah, and it don't quit. I think they in the mood for another one of those G hits. So, Drake,
what up, dog?
We gotta give them what they want.
What's that shit?
We gotta break them on something.
Hell yeah.
And it's gotta be bumpin'. City of Compton.
It's where it takes place, so we're mashing with tension. Mobbing with the dog crown.
Oh, wow, wow.
Dropping the funky tracks is making the suckers just bump. When I'm on the mic, it's like a cookie, they all crump. Try to get close, and you're bound to get smacked. My little homie Snoop Doggy Doggy's got my back. Never let me slip, cause if I slip, then I'm slipping. But if I got my Nina, then you know I'm straight tripping. And I'ma continue to put the rap down, put the Mac down. And if your woman wanna trip, I have to put the smack down. Yeah, man, you don't stop. I told you I'm just like a clock when I tick and I talk. But I'm never off, always on to the break of dawn. See you when B-T-O-N in the city, they call Long Beach. Putting straight together like my homie D.O.C. No one can do it better.
Like this, that, and this, and it's like that, and like this, and like that, and it's like this.
And we ain't got no love for dogs.
So just chill to the next episode.
Folks, welcome to an all-new So Bad It's Good pop culture roundup with the one and only Sophie Ross. This is the start of your week. It's the start of our week over here at So Bad It's Good. How the heck are we? Are we all staying alive out there? I sure hope we are. That's not too heavy-handed, is it? If you are joining us for the first time, where have you been? We've been waiting for you. Now we can finally start. It's been a lonely couple of years, but now that you're here, we can really kick it into high gear. If you are here for the first time, though, just remember there are timestamps. I usually do a little bit of a monologue in the beginning. That's supposed to be 5 minutes. Usually lasts around 30, but there's timestamps, so you can skip right to Sophie. Sophie, I got to tell you, we recorded this right after her team, the Bengals, lost to the Kansas City Chiefs. But actually, we did end up having a really good time. I thought it was going to be a real bummer. So we're going to save the bummer part for this portion of the show. And the Sophie part are actually really fun. We talk a lot about Housewives. We talk about the fashion shows from last week. We do a little bit about Blue Ivy and Beyonce. We talk about Anna Delvey. We talk about Succession and Yellow Jackets and all the good TV that's on right now. Oh, you guys, I talk about this a little bit with Sophie, but I had a weekend of TV. In fact, I'm just coming off watching television right now. Guys, I say this, we got to stop it. And I'm talking to you, the TV makers. You got to stop making good TV because it turns out everything is good now. There's a little piece of good in everything, right? Including people, but I'm mainly talking about television shows. And everything. We had a new 90 Day Fiancé start tonight, 90 Day the Other Way. And we don't really cover TLC shows here. I love Reality Gaze and Pink Shade. Those are podcasts that handle that. But one of these days, I'm just going to cover one of these shows because it's so insane. And it's like when they start off a new season of one of these 90 days, you're kind of like praying that they get like an all smart cast where they're all like, wait a sec, I probably shouldn't move overseas, or that guy's just using me to get a green card. And you guys, it never happens. There's always new dumb people to make reality shows out of. Or even worse, there'll be one really dumb one and then one smart one, or one smart one that's really in love with the person and the other person is like being totally used by the other. It's heartbreaking if it wasn't so funny. Like, but this, they're even breaking bounds. There's a lesbian couple, this one. There's a trans man that's in love. Like, there's so many different. And then there's this one, this lady just doesn't like being in New York anymore. And so she went down in the Dominican Republic for vacation, met this hot dude. I mean, just, you know, has the abs, the whole thing. By the way, that's my qualifier for hot dude. Got the abs. And she, like, he wants to go, like, he said, you know, my dream is to go to the United States, to live in New York. You know, that's the dream. Dominican Republic, he said, you know, I don't want to be here. And he doesn't even speak English, you guys. And she decides that they got married. They'd only, you know, hung out a bit, got married, and she went back to New York, and she's finally moving to the Dominican Republic. He thinks she's moving there, and they're going to be there for, like, less than a year, and then they're moving back to the United States, and he's going to get to be there for the first time. And there's always a secret with these shows, like what he doesn't know. They do this with all these shows, Love After Lockup. It's always like there's a secret on top of how horrible things are already. Like, what she doesn't know is I have 80 kids already. So this girl's like, what he doesn't know is that I don't ever want to go back to New York. I want to live the rest of my life in the Dominican Republic. So we see in this 90 day at the very end, they're in the car. He's picking her up from the aeropuerto. And she's like, can speak fluent. And she's like, we're never going back to New York. I want to stay here for the rest of my life. And he's like, what? Like, you can just tell. I mean, and listen, bad on him already because he's just flat up using her to get to the United States. So yeah, that's already bad. But like, you can tell this guy's already crushed. It's not going to end well. Like, none of these things are going to end well. You know, like, could you, and these, the friends, you guys, and you don't, if you don't watch the show, it's fine. I'm just going to explain a normal concept that you'll totally get. The friends of these people that decide to throw everything in their lives away to go overseas or bring somebody over here, these friends always look like they got hit by a 2x4 because like it's the moment where you watch them go like, holy shit, my friend's a full-blown idiot. Like there's parents, there's friends, and it's always the same like befuddled look of like, when did you get so stupid? And they realize cameras are on them, so they're trying to be like gentle with their disapproval. They're like, hey, bud, you feeling okay? Anyways, I think you should just, you know, go on a quick vacation and then just come back. I have to imagine it's just bad. There's nothing good I can say. And I think that's almost the enjoyment of watching it is that, I mean, it definitely is escapism television because your life doesn't look that bad in comparison. But at the same time, what it all boils down to is what we all want, right? We want love. We want acceptance. We want, you know, it's like these really noble ideas. And these ideas are kind of pumped into us through movies and television of like these big romantic gestures like Sleepless in Seattle or, you know, like Meet Me on the Top of the Empire State Building and all of these big grand gestures. So they think they're living out their own version of the movie. It's just that like usually it's like Big Ed from, you know, 90 Day that he barely has a neck. You know, he's like a squashed up Randall Emmett in a way. And this guy still is abusing women like this guy. I mean, it's why anyways. But they think they're going for these really noble things. And it's like, you know, you realize how much love means to us and just being accepted by somebody else. And you would say, hey, Ryan, why couldn't they be accepted in America? And I'm like, I don't know. That's what it's like when they're like, no, I had more luck on a website overseas. And the thing is, it's like this isn't. These shows shouldn't even be a surprise to the people that sign up to do them. There's now been 80 billion seasons of 90 Day Fiancé where they could watch even one season and go, hey, you know what? It doesn't look like this works out for anyone. And, you know, there's like a handful of couples that do work out, like David and Annie, or, you know, and it's like, well, okay, fine. Like, what are you going to get your own spinoff? I'm telling you guys, TLC pays dick. They don't make a lot of money. Like that's same thing with Sister Wives, Cody and those, like they even took a pay cut and now they're screwed because this past season of Sister Wives was like one of the biggest hits for Sister Wives ever. And they're all making half the money of what they used to make. Man, could you imagine that being one of those ladies married to Cody, well, most of them aren't married anymore, and then realizing you have to split your pay five ways and you're getting half of what you got. It's too much. A lot of them are doing like MLMs, like multi-level marketing and stuff. It's wild. Anywho, I'm just saying this 90 Day Fiancé. And the thing is, the 90, like there's so many iterations, like 90 Day Fiancé the other way, 90 Day UK, 90 Day Caribbean, 90 Day, just regular 90 Day Fiancé, which is like Coke Classic. And that there's too many 90 Day Fiancés. And these things, I was talking to Sandra and Mediza over text earlier, and we were talking about, well, Sandra was making the point, and it's like these 2-hour shows, at least Bravo has the decency to fuck you in an hour. Like they're like, we'll ruin your life in 1 hour. But 90 Day Fiancé, they have you on the line for 2 hours. You're watching 2 hours. And then they're so smart is that they'll just give like GoPros to like these like Colty and all these 90 Day like whack packers. And they'll give them like a GoPro and be like, just film something. And that'll be a TV show. Like, I swear to God, I think I watched like a 30-minute episode of just a pimple the other day. I was fascinated. I was like, wow, this has to be really cheap to make. You're literally just pointing a camera at somebody's pimple. And it was gripping television. So none of these people are getting rich. It makes me so sad. But at the same time, it kind of makes me happy because I realize I have the freedom of never being on 90 Day Fiancé. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Bravo is aspirational a little bit, even though it's, you know, we all agree that it's kind of wacky. We don't want to wind up on Bravo. We want to watch Bravo. We don't want to wind up on it. But then if you compare Bravo to TLC, like TLC is like, oh, shit. Like, I did something painfully wrong, woefully wrong in my life if I wind up anywhere on 90 Day Fiancé. In fact, if I was one of the friends of the people that wanted to go overseas or bring somebody over and they, you know, the friend didn't, I was the friend that knew that like, holy shit, like that person doesn't love my friend. I would ask for my face to be blurred. I would be one of those blurred faces where we, and I would ask them to manipulate my voice. I'd be like, I don't think you should go over there, Sean. That would be dumb. Anyways, new season of 90 Day Fiancé The Other Way aired tonight. Oh my God, we really just went into a rant already. I was ready to talk to you guys. I got to tell you. First off, if you like this show, and why wouldn't you, leave it 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. I got to say, I'm so proud of us. Like, we've been doing this now for a couple of years, and look how far we've grown. We really have. I'm not even joking. I'm not being a smartass. Like, this is really cool. Like, we get bigger and bigger, and it's like on such a grassroots level in a way. Like, this is just really cool. So thank you for being here. And I don't care if you listen to one show, two shows, or even the 5 shows that I do a week. And maybe if you like it even more, you can throw $5 and join Patreon. And you have more episodes over there. In fact, I'm recording a Q&A episode after this, which actually there's a lot of personal questions in there. So if you ever want to know personal things, go on over to the Patreon. We even get more personal over there, if you can believe that. It's just me showing my nips. My nips. But anyways, I was just saying thank you. I'm very lucky. I know how many podcasts are out there. I know how many things are in competitions for your ears. So thank you for being here at any point this week. But I gotta say, I put as much effort into this show as I do to any of the shows during the week. And I'm really, really proud of this. There's not a lot of things that I'm proud of in my life. I'm not ashamed. I mean, well, I'm ashamed of certain things, but more importantly, I'm just really proud of this. So yeah, leave it a 5-star review. Also, Patreon, like I said. And then finally, remember, Thursday, February 9th, we are doing the Vanderpump Rules Season 10 premiere party online. You can watch it from the comfort of your home. I got so many messages this week from friends saying, I got tickets, me and my girlfriend gonna watch it, or me and my... And I was like, that's it, man. Like, it's a little party. We're going to have Tom Sandoval, Ariana Maddox, the Talk of Shame, Kiki Monique. We're going to have the So Bad It's Good family. We might even have my family. And there's a couple special surprises. There might be a giveaway or two, but we're going to try to have as much fun as humanly possible in the time allotted. And you guys, the tickets are only $10. You go to moment.co/SBIG. And it's $10. If you're in Patreon, if you're a Patreon member, you get half off, and it's only $5. And I said, please make it as cheap as possible. And if you look at other shows Moment are doing, I am literally, I think, the cheapest. And I asked for it to be that way because I just want to have fun with you guys and have a great turnout and just have a blast. So go sign up for that today or this week. Also, remember, if you can't join us live on Thursday, you have 2 weeks when you sign up, 2 weeks from the day that it airs to watch it. So you don't have to watch it live, even though I would love it, because there'll be a chat session, on the show. But you'll be able to watch it for 2 weeks after that as well. And you can just... you can just go over my performance. You can say, this is where Ryan did great. This is where you can grade me. Don't grade me. I take that back. Okay. And a couple, and this is, listen, I always say this, this is my diary as well as a podcast. And I would be remiss if I didn't talk about certain things that are happening in my life. I do keep some things private. I do keep some things for myself, believe it or not. I swear to God, some things I really, really cherish that I keep private. But I will say, we lost a great man this weekend. One of my best friend's dad passed away, and I am close to his family, and actually his and her family, because I'm really good friends with his sister, the whole family as well. And I'm not going to say names on here, but, sometimes, like, man, our team, I talk about us as a team. Our team has taken some heavy hits this year and this past year, and we gotta stay strong. We got to fight the good fight. We got to find ways to and find reasons to get up every day. But, life just isn't isn't fair sometimes, and we all know that. That's why we do these shows like this, where we can be wildly goofy and try to laugh together. But we also got to accept these other things, the shitty part of life. And to say the shitty part of life, you have to accept that actually life is pretty cool. To agree that there can be shitty parts of it. And I still have to, I do remind myself, because it is true that life is pretty, pretty great sometimes, but it's really hard to understand and make sense of some of the things that, that happen. And the greatest compliment I can give, Steve, who passed away, is that he raised two of the finest humans I know. His daughter and his son, who I'm very close to and have been for, God, 20 years, man, a long time now. No, even more than 20 years. Two of the finest, most open, most encouraging, most supportive friends that I have in my life. It has been truly an honor to watch both of my friends get married. I was an officiant at one, and Steve said I did a good job. So, and I, by the way, I took that. That when Steve gave you a compliment, you took that. You took it and ran, because he was a real brilliant man. And it's one of those things, because you know that thing in life where you know those explanations for things, you know? I know why this happened to him, and I know why, you know, but in the greater sense of like why things happen, you know, it's hard because you just can't make sense of something, and you want to be able to be like, oh, well, this is the reason to, and none of that shit works when it comes to death, you know, like none of that stuff adds up. So it's like this weird experience that humans go through, the people that walk the earth after, you know, after you lose somebody, is that, it kind of alters you a bit, and you guys know what I'm talking about. But I wanted to say that because that happened on Friday, and I've been thinking about it all weekend, and you know, I'd known for a bit, but it was one of those things. And I on my Instagram, I watched a lot of movies, a lot of TV this weekend. And in honor of Steve, we watched The Last Waltz, which is a beautiful concert film from the 70s directed by Martin Scorsese about the band entitled The Band. And it was their last concert. It was 1977, filmed on Thanksgiving in San Francisco. And it was their last show. The band had been a band for, I think they had been on the road like 17 years or something, and this was their last show. You had Levon Helm, Robbie Robertson, and they just, you probably know their song, The Wait, that was one of their biggest hits, but just amazing. And it's this beautiful, like, film, like, just shot on film, and look, and the guest stars in it, they brought out, like, Neil Young, Joni Mitchell, Neil Diamond, you know, you had these amazing people. Neil Young, by the way, is amazing, and they're all, like, young. They're in the 70s. Neil Young looks like, he looks insane. Like, this, I was like, man, they must have just been like, is Neil going to freak out? Like, because he just attacks the mic in such a weird way. But he has, if any of you guys have watched this, The Last Waltz, when he comes out to do his song, he has like a huge Coke booger, you know, that substance, Coke. Like, you can see, like, me and my friends would watch this film like every year at Coachella, like the night before, just to get us pumped up for live music. And we were like, oh, I remember the first time we saw it, we're like, is that a big Coke booger? And then you look it up online and everybody was like, yep, that's a Coke booger. And it's really a cool snapshot. And it's I don't know. So that was Steve's favorite film, his son told me. And so we watched that on Friday night. And so, yeah. And that leads into a little update about my mom. And for those of you, I don't know, like, it's so weird because I talk a lot about things, but I don't know when people, if, you know, everybody doesn't listen to every show. So I imagine I put in little details, not by some grand design, but just what I'm in the mood to talk about. But my mom on Friday finished her second round of chemo, And I got to tell you, man, this woman is a beast. I don't mean that in a "you beast." I don't mean it like in a housewives way, but like just what a strong, strong woman. Like still, I mean, going through chemo still finds time to chastise me about still finds time to tell me what I'm not to yell at me about my taxes. I mean, truly amazing. And I just, I just am so impressed. And I know my dad, everybody's really coming together, and it's been really awesome to see. I want to give a quick shout out to Juliana Carraza. You might know her. She took the Beverly Hills notes for all my Beverly Hills recaps. Awesome. And she's a baddie. She's been with us for a long time. And she sent my mom this beautiful wig. And I mean, just beautiful. And it has like a hat attached to it. Like, it's like a knit hat, and it looks just, and it looked gorgeous on my mom. And you got to understand, like my mom, like it's one of those things that I talk about in terms of like, I've always been kind of weird looking. So like, as I get older, I get slightly better looking, but I've been used to not being amazing looking my entire life and stuff. So like, it sucks because I think we all want to be like beautiful or hot. But my mom, like, I think she has been just undeniably beautiful for so long. And I was looking at pictures even from last January, which is wild. And, you know, the steroid she's on, because she has Cushing's disease on top of the adrenal cancer that is now spread. And it has made, with the medicine and stuff like that, it's made her gain like 60 pounds. And she's just like immediately. And she's just not used to it. Who would be, right? And think about yourself as relatively skinny your entire life, and then all of a sudden putting on a good deal. And she's still, by the way, still, I'm not talking like gargantuan or anything like that, but like, whatever you're, but it, for her, it is. And she even talks about like, I'm just not used to my center of gravity anymore. You know, like I have at least like this belly and the face. And I thought what a horrible, you know, on top of having cancer and on top of like to then throw that into the mix and to have somebody start to get used to looking a whole different way. And hopefully, you know, I don't know, there's going to be a lot of rounds of chemo, so we'll see. And usually chemo makes you lose weight, but with the other steroid medication for the Cushing's disease, hopefully the way that she's gained is maybe protecting her or giving, I don't know, you guys, but it breaks your heart when your mom says something like that, because you're like, you know, you want her to always feel beautiful. And really, I think what a beautiful lady inside and out. But this wig that Juliana sent over, my mom just loved it. And it really, because we got her a couple of wigs a little bit ago in preparation of all of this. And those are great. But this one looks awesome. Like this one, I was like, wow, mom. Like it was just luxurious. It seems like real beautiful horsehair. Not like actual, I think that's what they actually call. But it looks like not the Erica Jane. Didn't you buy me Erica Jane's hair? Yeah, right. I got hair. No, this has seemed like actual quality hair, and she looked great in it. I think she was truly shocked that somebody affiliated with me sent it to her. So, Juliana, thank you so much. Also, you guys, we've talked last week about how I got myself on Amazon, like these like $8 necklace strings, you know, you see them a lot of old people, but like I've been losing my glasses everywhere and I don't waste contacts on me podcasting anymore. So I'll just wear glasses, but then I'll misplace them. So I was like, you know, I need one of those. And I was like, you know, that thing that every grandma wears or grandpa, that thing. And they're like, yeah, the glass neck. And I'm like, yeah, yeah. And I got them, and I tell you, I'm wearing them around my neck right now, and they're amazing. I've not lost my glasses at all. And I'm like, you know what? If this is what it means, like this is actually a good thing about getting older. Like things like this actually helps me. All the rest about getting older sucks, but these necklaces on my glasses, awesome. But anyways, Juliana, so my mom was like, oh, just send me this, and you know, this most beautiful wig and these really fancy necklace holders for my glasses. And I was like, wait a sec, whoa, mom. I was like, those are for me. And she's like, no, Ryan, they're for me. I'm older. And I was like, no, mom, they're for me. And Julia, they are for me. But I think the true shock in my mom of like, wait a sec, you're getting to the age where you need a necklace on your clothes. What the fuck is wrong with you, man? So, anyways, that is enough of the sharing of the personal familial things. You guys, oh, wait a sec. I do. I do want to say one other thing is that we're friends. We can talk about tough stuff, right? I would be remiss if I did not just bring up, we've talked about the state of the world a lot on this show, and the stuff that happened in Memphis in the last month, and if you guys saw the police cam footage, and I know this makes everybody uncomfortable. I know it makes everybody scared to talk about this stuff, and I know it makes really people angry, and people have some really interesting reactions when people try to talk about this stuff. But I will say, after watching the horrific footage, nobody deserves to be treated like that. I'm sure. I don't know. It's just very, very horrible. It's stuff that I can't really even put into words, because you just, like I was saying with death, or even, you know, it's like so hard to comprehend, and it's so hard to make sense of why these things happen to these people. And then to have video footage of this is just so heartbreaking. You know, his name was Tyree Nichols. And I do want to let you know there is a GoFundMe for his family, GoFundMe.com/F/TYRE-NICHOLS. Times are tough, but if you do have anything extra this month, consider it. It's horrific, and I'm sure more and more information will come out, but just the severity of what happened to him, I don't know if there will ever be a reason for, and I'm trying to be as gentle as possible with this. But I think we can all agree that this was way too far. I mean, just beyond the pale. So I just wanted to mention that. I'm not ignorant of world events. I just choose on this show usually to try to have a more humorous bent, just because even of things going on in my life, this is kind of my escape, and hopefully it's some of your escapes as well. But I'm not ignorant to things, and if you've listened to the show from the beginning, you very much know that. But also, funerals are very expensive, and so, listen, I'm going to donate, and maybe you guys would consider it as well. Okay, let's do a couple more silly things as we leave that for a second, even though it's always with us. I want to tell you about the other things that I watched this weekend. The Last Waltz, sure, but I watched You People on Netflix, which is Jonah Hill and Eddie Murphy, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, David Duchovny. Had an insanely good cast. Really, this kind of film, it's like a remake of Who's Coming to Dinner. If you guys remember that classic chestnut with Katharine Hepburn, I don't think a lot of you will, Spencer Tracy. But it's basically this, they kind of turn it on its ear, the concept of it. And Jonah Hill, a Jewish man, falls in love with an African-American woman, and he has to meet her family, who, you know, the patriarch is Eddie Murphy. And he does not like Jonah Hill. And it sets off, I thought, you know, I just like Jonah Hill. And by the way, I never thought I would say I want to dress like Jonah Hill, but I want to dress like Jonah Hill. Everything this character wore in the movie, I was like, this is how I would dress if I had real money. Like, when is Old Navy going to get fancy streetwear like this? Like, I was just like, wow. No, the movie, of course, makes all these, tries to point out all these things about race and race in America and all of these really hot button issues. And it doesn't really succeed in that sense. Like, I think the audience is sophisticated enough to kind of realize what they're going for. But it's so much to ask of this movie, and it doesn't quite land. Having said that, though, there are some great moments with Eddie Murphy. There are some real good laughs in there. But, you know, and I appreciated the attempt. I wanted to, I wish it could have, like, just knocked it out of the park. It didn't, but there were still some good moments and some really cringy moments. I don't know if you guys thought the same or what you thought about that. Also, then, I did not count on watching this, but I watched Shotgun Wedding on Amazon Prime with Jennifer Lopez. Now, this was a true shit. This was a so bad it's good movie. I mean, it was just this Jennifer Lopez. She loves to overact around a wedding premise. The amount of faces she was making this, and the tone is like, it can't decide if it wants to be this quirky comedy or a violent action film. And I think that was probably what they were trying to, like, oh, it'll be really cool if we blend all these genres, but then it just doesn't work. And no offense to Josh Duhamel, but it just, or however you say his name, he's acceptable. Like, he does the damn thing, but he, you know, you could have made so many more funny moments if they had a really funny male lead, and he's just a good male lead. He's not particularly funny. And Lenny, I don't know. I talk more about it with Sophie. I watched that. And then tonight, you guys, are you watching The Last of Us on HBO Max? It's kind of like The Walking Dead. The first two scenes just knocked me on my ass, knocked me on my coal mining ass. I watched the first episode. Three episodes are out right now. And I'm like, damn, this is what I said at the beginning. I'm like, you got to start making shows bad again, so it's obvious not to watch them. Like, right? It's not too much to ask. Oh, also, I watched Love After Lockup on Friday on WeTV. This Love After Lockup, you guys, I am addicted to this season. Talk about 90. And if you, okay, so I said, you know, the Bravo compared to 90 Day Fiancé looks so classy. But then if you kick it down to WeTV, then it makes 90 Day Fiancé look classy. you want to watch a show that makes the 90 Day Fiancé cast look cool? I recommend Love After Lockup. And I've talked about it a couple times on this show, but it's legitimately just people that fall in love with prison, or people have relationships with somebody outside of prison and they're getting out and the relationship flourishes or it doesn't. Most of the time it doesn't, but like literally the one couple's already she's pregnant. He just got out a week ago and she's pregnant. My voice gets high. The one guy, he's with this woman who is a full size, well, like he's a tiny dude and she's like a bigger woman, nothing wrong there. But like, he has like this other girl we find out that he's messing around with. And then I bitched about this a couple of weeks ago. They went out on their first night. They went to this steak and lobster restaurant. He's ordering everything champagne. She's footing the bill. It was like $600. But I am so into this season. It is trash TV at its finest. It's like one of those shows where you're like, oh my God, I hope they don't exist, even though you know they really do exist. Like, that's what I think is truly astounding, is that these people really, really exist. Also, we didn't get to talk about this in the show, but Mark Anthony, speaking of J-Lo, Mark Anthony, like, this is wild. He's almost like the Nick Cannon of marriage, because this guy loves love. this guy, he got married again to Nadia Ferreira. But the confusing thing is, you guys, I feel like I'm losing it. Didn't he just get married to somebody else 2 years ago? Anyways, it was star-studded. Like, I feel like this fourth wedding, and it says huge. They had David and Victoria Beckham, Salma Hayek, Lin-Manuel Miranda, and Louise Fonzie were some of the stars in attendance at Mark Anthony's weekend wedding in Miami. Oh my God, I wonder if Lenny Hochstein was there. That creepy Lenny. So he's 54, she's 23. So that's very similar in age. Congrats. But I swear to God, you guys, I swear, I think I'm having deja vu or something, because this guy just, I really feel like he just got married 2 years ago. That must not have worked out. But dude, Mark Anthony seems to like weddings as much as Jennifer Lopez likes weddings. Wow. But also 23. How are you going to be 54 and marry I hate to be a fuddy-duddy, but how are you going to do that? Also, I want to talk about this. Did you see this? Oprah Winfrey, by the way, turned 69 today on Sunday. 69. All right, Oprah. Yeah. Hot stuff. No, but she had these pictures with Kim Kardashian and Jennifer Lopez, and Kim Kardashian gave her a birthday shout out. Was like, when Sharon Stone gave a speech and said, "You were the light of everybody's light. You are." You know, and I'm like, okay, Kim's just so excited to be around like reputable people. You can tell. Like, you can tell sometimes Kim still has the stink of not being famous on her. You know, she still seems like she's part of a Make-A-Wish Foundation at times. And I would be the same way. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying you can tell when she gets around real reputable people. She's like, okay, don't blow it, Kim. You're around Oprah. Just talk about something cool. Talk about prison reform. It'll be cool. But then there's these pictures, you guys, they got of this night. And it's like J-Lo and Kim Kardashian talking. Oprah's like in the middle. They're at their seats for dinner, and Oprah's like scooched forward talking to somebody, and like J-Lo and Kim Kardashian are like leaning over speaking to each other behind Oprah. And I just wonder if Oprah was like, just shut the fuck up. These two people in my ears, J-Lo and one and Kim K and the other. And I thought it was Oprah's birthday party, but it wasn't. It was the birthday party. Somebody was explaining this to me, and you women and your ways, there's so much I don't know. It was this birthday party for like the Queen of Brows. Her name is Anastasia Soare, S-O-A-R-E. Like, there, the more I do this, the more I would think I would know everything. And there was a time where I did. And now there's like, thing like, who the F is this? Turns out she's like huge. It was like their 25th brand anniversary party on Saturday night that drew Kim Kardashian, Jennifer Lopez, Oprah, Sharon Stone, Sofia Vergara. And it's the popular brand Anastasia. I have not heard of this at all. I have failed you all. Anyways, these ladies all gathered around to take selfies of each other. Oh, also Heidi Klum. I am Heidi Klum. Priyanka Chopra, Cindy Crawford, Gayle King, Alessandra Ambrosio, Jessica Alba, Rita Wilson, Lori Harvey, Maria Menounos, Ashley Tisdale, and many others. Man, a who's who. I think Kris Jenner was there as well. Man, I wanted to bring up, and I'm going to save this for Tuesday's episode. We got a full week of shows. I'm trying to make these a little bit shorter. And I just like talking, and I like talking to you guys so much. And so I got to stop this, but I want to read a listener email about Ozempic and the conversation I had last week. I also want to bring up a little bit more about Ozempic in terms of, there's just a lot of stuff. I want to talk about Harry Styles ripping his pants at the show the other day, at his concert. Did we see a little Harry Styles? We'll talk about that on Tuesday. A lot of stuff. This conversation is continuous. I've got to remember that I don't have to make everyone 3 hours. I'm talking to myself right now, you guys. Anyways, let's get to the fun. Let's get to it. And remember, even some of the stuff we talk with Sophie, I'll probably get into a little bit more on Tuesday with some more details, especially with the Bravo stuff. But you guys, I want you to have the best week ever. We can do this. We can get through this week. I swear to God, I am here for you. Thank you for being there for me. Go sign up for my show, moment.co/SBIG. And I cannot wait to continue the conversation on Tuesday. Here she is, the one, the only. And even though the Bengals lost last night, she's a winner, Miss Sophie Ross. You guys, welcome to an all new week. This is a pop culture roundup with finally we got her back. We miss her like hell when she's gone. And listen, we've got to be gentle on Sophie today. I mean, even though she's tougher than most of us, is because the Bengals just the game just happened, and she's doing this after the game, and unfortunately they lost. And I was even watching the second, third, and some of the fourth, but they got, so anyway, Sophie Ross, let's just get into it. How are you? How do you feel when something like this happens?
Oh, I'm sad. Obviously it's disappointing. I'm excited to jump right into this, so I don't have to like process my emotions yet. But yeah, I'm really sad.
Burn Kansas down, burn it down.
But isn't it Kansas City? Like, isn't it Missouri though? Either way,
no man.
Either way, fuck Kansas City. And also, that was rigged. And I'm not even trying to sound like a sore loser. Everyone on Twitter is saying it, that the refs we're not making any calls against the Chiefs and making bogus ones against the Bengals. Either way, though, I'm not being a sore loser. I'm very proud of this team. Also, Ryan just said something hilarious. He was like, wait. He was like, the game was tied, so I just like turned it off. I was like, wait, when the game is
No. Let me explain. I want to say, like, I can't handle that kind of stress. Like, it's way, like, I was like, I don't know how you guys do it. In fact, all you sports fans, I would almost rather, you know, they play the game. They don't let anybody watch. And then they just tell you afterwards if your team won or not. And that way you don't have to like want to shit yourself for like a full quarter of a game, where I was sitting there and I'm invested in it just because I want Sophie to be happy. So I'm like sitting there going like, pull it out. And then it was tied. And I'm like, they kept tying. And I was like, I can't do this to myself. I'm going to go crazy. And I turned on Real Housewives of Potomac, which was even worse. Because then I had to hear Giselle talking about licking vagina. And I was like, no, never say that again, Giselle. So it was a lose-lose.
Yeah, it was definitely stressful. That's for sure. It was stressful. Well, all right.
Well, Joe Burrow, he looks like he's like 22 years old. The guy looks like he has 30 more seasons in the NFL ahead of him. And that Patrick Mahomes guy, I'm sorry. I know everybody likes him, but I don't like him. I'm just going to say it right now. I don't think that's a good guy.
Because
he looks bad. Like, I just, there's something about his look that is, it just seems evil. And the way he was limping on one of those feet too, I noticed. And I was his ankle.
No, he's playing on he got a high ankle sprain like last weekend. He's like playing on it. Everyone was like, how are you like playing on that? That's like kind of like a semi-serious injury. And he was like limping. I like Patrick Mahomes. I like Andy Reid. I would like the Chiefs if they weren't like kind of our rival right now. But his wife, Brittany Mahomes, people cannot stand her. And a lot of it is like, I think misogynistic, but she's also just very obnoxious. And then his brother also is Jackson Mahomes, the TikToker. He's been kind of quiet this year, but those two, he's like attached to two really annoying people that people really don't like. But generally, I think
Who do you root for now? Who do you root? Chiefs or the Eagles? Who do you root for?
I guess I'm rooting for the Eagles because that's my boyfriend's team. And I was stressed about the Eagles and the Bengals playing each other. Deep down, I was like hoping that it would be the Bengals and the 49ers because I didn't want to have to deal with playing each other in the Super Bowl. But now that the Bengals are out, I guess I'll root for the Eagles, I guess. Sure.
Well, I'm crushed. And this is why I'm not going to ever get into sports. It's too much. And by the way, we look at pop culture and housewives the same way we do as sports. Like, I just said, I passionately hate that guy Mahomes, and I don't know that guy from Adam, but I'm the same way with housewives too, where I'll be like, I fucking hate that housewife. And I really like this season, I hate Heather Gay. And I hate her with a passion this season. Like, it's wild.
She sucks so bad. She sucks so bad. And I love how with all of this coming out about Rugged Four, Real Housewives of Ultimate Girls Trip.
Rugged.
So everything coming out about Rugged Four, it sounds so incredible that everyone has already forgotten that Rugged Season 3 filmed last summer and still hasn't aired. And it's because it's like Whitney and Heather, Leah McSweeney, Candace, fun to watch. Who else? As soon as I saw Whitney and Heather, I was like, I just don't care about watching Whitney and Heather. I don't. I really don't.
I will say though, when I at BravoCon, they had a panel and they showed the preview. The preview actually looked good. And what fascinated me about it is that Whitney and Heather were like, they hate each other on that. They hated each other so much on that stage that day that I was like, wow, something really bad continues to happen in this. But I'm even talking about Salt Lake this week. That was such a mess of a reunion, mess of a season. And you let Jen go with the season. Did you go to dearjen.com and put in your information to get the real true story of Jen Shah?
Absolutely not. Did you?
Well, I signed you up. I signed all your email addresses up, and I got your mom in on there.
Yeah, if you asked my mom for like my social security number, you could so be like, I'm trying to send Sophie, I'm trying to wire Sophie some money or like say that you're doing something nice, she would give it to you.
Well, who, what right mind does Jen Shah think she should put out something where she collects anybody's information? I know that's an obvious joke, but like she did that an hour before the reunion aired. And I'm sorry. Like, I think Meredith and Heather look like dodo birds and all, you know, everybody has their favorites. Sure. But just look at the facts. Like nobody can agree that Heather was like such, like, how do you, it's not even blind loyalty. It's at this point dumb. And that black eye, right. I mean, I don't like, would do you care to give a shit about that black eye anymore?
I actually am very angry about it. I'm angry about the fact that Heather was implying that she was assaulted, which is extremely, extremely serious. She knew what she was doing. And I know that there was that Bravo and Cocktails blind item that was like, Heather, it wasn't Heather's idea. It was the producers. It's like, she knew what she was doing, implying that she may have been assaulted. It wasn't the producers. It's like, it's such bullshit. I'm pissed off that we were all strung along. And that we all got invested and it ended up being nothing. Like, that's so frustrating. Just everything about it was so obnoxious.
It's self-producing at its worst. She thinks she's good at self-producing and it turns out she's horrible at it. But also, they even mentioned that an internal review happened. And that really is true. People could lose their jobs because of that. So her and the Mormon shame thing, I've heard a lot of comments that people are like, well, I understand that. I'm like, okay, I understand shame. I've been drunk many times in my life, but I'm sorry. You weren't ashamed of already like touching tatas with Jen Shah on camera. So then all of a sudden you were shameful about the black eye, but you running around the house lit out of your flipping mind. That was okay. And you weren't ashamed of that. But this part, the black eye is the part that's too far. It didn't make any sense to me.
Exactly. Exactly.
Hey, Sophie, you live in New York. Is there any way you could get invited to one of these Anna Delvey soirees at her apartment? She's been having people over and it's like a big scene over at her tiny little New York apartment.
I truly don't know like how to get on that list, but I am desperate to be. I'm desperate to be. Just
it's
for
the
like
new,
investigative purposes. I know it's like the new like It Girl
Studio
like,
54. It's like wait, Sophie, say wait, no, this is actually true. Say you're writing an article and like she'll look you up and know you have credits and then like invite you over and you could write a piece for your Substack that could actually then get published by other things. Like it's a no-brainer. And in fact, did you read that she,
that's a good idea.
It's a great idea. A production company, you guys, if you probably already read this, but they picked up the reality show idea where it's going to be people coming over to her apartment and having these kind of like salons where conversation will be happening. You know, it's it sounds insane, but she's having her like you see the wrist, the what is it, the prison wrist, the ankle thing, the ankle bracelet that she has to wear while she's out of like on parole. She's
the
wearing that
monitor?
In all the photos. Yeah,
yeah,
the ankle monitor.
Yeah,
yeah. The but like
I know
I think
it's like kind of iconic.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, does she fail upwards? Do we scam upwards now? Is everybody just scam? Like, what is Jen Shah going to host like a show in prison? Like, where does it end?
Is Jen Shah? Yeah, I mean, I think with the Anna Delvey thing, it kind of is ironic that she was trying so hard to like fit in with like the upper crust, like socialite scene. And she became a scammer because of it. And now...
And she's more known than she ever is.
Exactly. It, like, worked for her. She got a Netflix TV show made about herself. Like, it really worked for her. With Jen Shah, I don't know. I think that Jen Shah will be a little bit limited being in prison for 6.5 years. I think that, you know, that's a little
Sophie,
limiting.
So do you ever get on... I was telling the audience I get on prison TikTok now and like they have every like it doesn't look great. Like it doesn't look fancy at all, but you can do whatever you like. This guy was making some of the best breakfast burritos I'd ever seen. He had attached the grill to his light in his like he wired it. So the grill, like he had a heating grill where he was making breakfast burritos in his cell and they looked awesome.
Wait, okay. What? I have been, I've came across Prison Talk, but my question is, are they allowed to have iPhones?
No, but somebody must sneak them in because they're always TikTok.
Where do they get, Exactly. How are they always TikToking? If I could have my phone in prison, that would not be that bad. Game over.
No. Game over. Like, are you kidding me?
Clink. No.
Clink, clink. Yeah.
Jen
is going to love the time away. She's not going to have to keep up with the Joneses. She's like, I just get to sit here. Like, are you kidding me?
If I couldn't have my iPhone, that would get dicey.
Yeah.
I think that in that scenario, I would be like, what do I do? What do I do with my hands? How do I keep myself occupied? If I'm just laying on.
What do I do with my hands?
I'm just laying on like a cot on my phone all day. Like I can just do that. But I imagine
I could do 10 years. Easy. Like easy.
It would go by so fast if you're just like scrolling.
Yes. Put screw money on my books. Put it onto like an Apple gift card or something. I could buy apps and stuff. Like you could play games. You could do that Duolingo and learn a language. There's so many cool things you can do on your phone that like everybody makes fun of you when you're on your phone too much, or at least in my life they do. Like my parents will make fun of me. But if I was in prison, people would encourage me to be on my phone. Of like, you have nothing else to do, brother. Hit it up. You could do HBO Max on there. Everything. Right.
Oh my God. Exactly. I always say also, and I've definitely said this before on here, that like house arrest does not sound bad to me.
No. Oh, are you kidding me? I've been on house arrest for house arrest. Are you kidding?
I know. It's like voluntary house arrest. It's like my life already.
By the way, if we ever do something really bad, I'm going to argue to the judge, like, is there a way we could do like retroaction where like I stayed in like the house for like the last 3 years kind of, is there any way does that count towards it at all? Really quick. I just wanted your opinion on this back to Salt Lake, but this goes for all Housewives shows, including Potomac. Andy does this like thing where I'm getting annoyed at Bravo. I'm getting annoyed at Bravo for a lot of reasons right now, but this reason, like, why do we, the audience, like they're allowed to just lie as much as they want. And then Andy will be like, let's take a look at a clip. And the audience will see the clip of them like saying the thing that they said they never said, but it doesn't matter but also like, I don't care if we see it, Andy, make them watch it. I want Andy to make them watch the clip in front of us. Like, cause why are they showing us? They're just allowed to lie.
Are you talking about during the reunion?
During the reunion, when they're like, did you ever say this to Meredith? And she's like, I never did. And then we see a clip where she did.
I always thought they were showing the clips to them.
No, because they never argue.
I was like half paying attention during the Salt Lake City reunion because I just like literally don't care. And it was so boring. Wait, so like, what did Meredith say that she didn't say?
So like it was saying something, I think it was like, it was multiple times during it, but like one was about Lisa Barlow and the SEC filing and all that stuff. And Meredith kept saying like, I never said that. And then it would cut to a clip that we would watch, but she wouldn't watch it. And it was like, we already know Meredith's lying. The point is to get Meredith to say, well, yeah, now looking back, I realize I said that, but I didn't mean it. So we don't really even get this kind of explanation from Meredith. And that's why this season is so unsatisfying, because there's never any kind of explanation for any of their behavior, not just Heather's black eye, the whole show. And then Jen Shaw picks up the fucking phone. They call Jen Shaw. Meredith's like, I'll call Jen right now. And Lisa's like, please do. And then they get Jen Shaw on the phone after she wouldn't come. Like, I don't want to hear your voice.
I need to know why, like, what does Jen Shaw now have on Meredith? And, like, I know Heather is just, like, blindly loyal, but, like, where did this Meredith loyalty come from? Like, I don't understand.
I think she must be supplying fabric to, like, Brooks. I don't know. Like, it makes no sense at all, because Meredith used to, like, take glee in Jen Shaw's destruction. Remember in the bathtub last season when Mary Cosby came in and she was ecstatic?
Yes, exactly. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. Nothing about this season made sense, basically.
No, it's like David Lynch, like Alice in Wonderland, down the rabbit hole. Do you think $721,000 is a lot of money for a year?
No, that's like think what about I that? Make in a month. That's what I make in a month.
Well, that's what Coach Shaw makes as a coach. That's what Coach Shaw made as a coach last season. and that was with bonuses. Like, if you make that much money, like, really shame on you for ever stealing this. And also, Jen had been doing this for 10 years. Like, this wasn't something that just started when the show started. Okay, I'm too angry about this. Hey, I have a question. This Pete Davidson is now dating this Chase Sui, who is his co-star in Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. And, like, I'm happy that they look happy. They're always, like, photographed kissing now and stuff. But are you kind of a little disappointed that he didn't, like, this... Like, she's obviously, like, you know, she's a movie actor and stuff, and that's cool. But, like, I feel like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this isn't, I wanted him to, like, I wanted Hillary Clinton. I wanted somebody big, you know?
No, I like this. I like this for him. I am so, because how, like, just predictable is it at this point that, like, the next, like, bombshell is going to be dating Pete Davidson? It's, like, a boring cliche. This is, like, okay. You're a normal human. You're not just like some AI, like PR robot. So yeah, no, I like this for them. She seems cute. I still haven't watched Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. I need to. I've seen Megan twice like it a lot. Now.
Dude, isn't Megan so fun?
Megan is so good. I saw it in theaters. It was worth seeing it in theaters because like it's an audience experience.
Yes.
And like everyone's like cracking up the entire time.
When she sings the songs, it's hysterical.
Good night, Katie. My favorite line is, I've got a new primary user now. Me. Anyway, I saw it in theaters and then I was with my parents this past week and I rented it for $20 on Amazon just to watch with my parents again.
You made your parents watch Megan?
Yeah, they wanted to watch it. They were excited and they loved it.
Did Amy like it? Okay, that's what I would. Yeah. By the way, that's the kind I want to have Amy on just to talk about Megan. Your mom would be like a good 5-minute movie review from your mom.
You actually, I feel like she would be like an entertaining person to talk about like entertainment with because she's super into like sci-fi, like the alien movies. She's watching that new Star Trek show that has like the commercials everywhere. She loves like, aliens. Yeah, Picard, starring Zachary Quinto. She just like loves like alien outer space stuff.
I love it too. It's really, but you know what I saw, which was Alien Outer Space, but like not was Tar with Cate Blanchett. That's on streaming on Peacock right now, and Cate Blanchett got nominated for Best Actress. It's a really intense movie. I think most people will absolutely hate, but I kind of dug it. Did you watch it yet?
No, I need to watch it. I really want to watch it. That's like another one that's on my list.
And I saw Dear People on Friday, and I also watched Shotgun Wedding. And that is a weird 1-2 punch. Dear People's with Jonah Hill and Eddie Murphy on Netflix.
Oh, no,
and Shotgun Wedding is on Prime.
You People.
Yeah, You People. Yeah, You People. What was I saying?
I said Dear People.
Oh, I was saying Dear Evan People. Yeah, no.
People. I watched You People also, and it was so bad. It was so bad. And
I liked aspects of it. Like the cast was so good. And I think part of it is just, as a bigger guy, I just now like, I just want to dress like Jonah Hill, you know, like I'm just like, I really was just fascinated with his wardrobe the entire film. Like I want to be able to afford Jonah Hill clothes. I never thought I would say that.
Yeah. No, the cast was great and it was like wasted. And there were just so many like just offensive stereotypes, I think.
Well, it's like really heavy conversations and it's hard because they don't really do it delicately. So it asks a lot of that movie to do and they don't really, it doesn't fully
but
succeed.
But nothing about like anti-Semitism is ever brought up. And the fact that where like the Jewish family is supposed to act like a Louis Farrakhan supporter is just something they have to tolerate rather than something that actually threatening to them. Because if you don't know who Louis Farrakhan is, he's a virulent anti-Semite who calls Jews termites.
Kanye's a big fan.
So it's like the fact that that was just like something that was just like, it was just a blip. It's just something they have to tolerate moving forward. I'm like, no.
It was like a funny little scene with Eddie Murphy and his koofy ends up on fire. And it's, but you want to talk about bad. you got to watch this Shotgun Wedding. It has no, it, there's oh, no.
Yeah, I heard it was very silly.
Will Jennifer Lopez ever make a movie that goes into the theaters again? Like she did this last year with Marry Me and people really loved that. This was so, and like this Josh Duhamel, no offense to him. He's a really good looking dude, but Armie Hammer was supposed to play this part. This is the movie that Armie got let go of when all this shit broke a couple of years ago. He was supposed to film this.
Yes. Yes. Wait. So my mom actually watched it. I didn't watch it with her. And she said it was like very silly, but it's like that. I went on a rant. I went on a rant to her about how Jennifer Lopez, it's always the same, like rom-com. Yeah. Like Marry Me. Yeah. Like
she loves marriage. Like Usher loves to go to the club. She loves a movie about marriage. This lady's been married over 80 times on film. And like, this has been the big theme of, it was Marry Me, getting married to Ben Affleck, and now Shock. I was just talking to my friend who's getting married in October, and there is so much to plan. You got to do the food. You got to do the food tasting. You got to book the venue, talk about the DJ. And then not to mention all of the emotion that goes into this. And then all the while you're like, ooh, what would I do if I had a wedding? I've been a part of a lot of weddings over the years, and it's an incredibly stressful process. You go from this newly engaged bliss to overwhelmed by invitation paper and flower colors in the blink of an eye. So using Zola helps with wedding planning from start to finish, and it makes every decision easier so you can stay in your bliss. With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste that delicious cake. Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually enjoyable. There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on your couch. Zola helps couples plan the wedding they really want with tons of unique features and personalized recommendations based on a couple's preferences. Every Zola wedding is as unique as the couple planning it. They've thought of everything you'll need and have built every tool to get you to I do, including customized checklists to get you moving, keep you on track, and prepare you for what's next. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com. Oh, did you?
Sorry. Yeah. Oh,
you froze. You froze. You guys, she froze and it looked like Megan because she just smiled really big and then it froze on the smile. And I was like, holy shit, she's like a robot.
I've got a new primary user now. Me. But wait.
Yeah, Shotgun Wedding. Shotgun Wedding.
Yeah. It's always the same like formula. I don't know. I'm not interested really.
But it got so ridiculous at the end. I started liking how, and Lenny Kravitz is in it, you guys. And you would think like Lenny Kravitz just pops up as a cameo. No, Lenny Kravitz is actually a big part of the film. And I wasn't prepared for that. Like that was like super weird to me. I didn't know. I was like, I kept thinking it was a joke. And then he actually had some like really intense scenes. And I was like, oh, that's weird. I just didn't expect it. I've got some interesting. Okay. So this weekend I watched the premiere of Summer House and Vanderpump Rules. Sophie, I've seen the beginning.
Oh so my God. When do I start getting screeners?
Well, I don't know what I'm allowed to say and all that stuff. And I don't want to bum any. Well, Vanderpump Rules, I really liked the first episode. And Summer House is going to have a long season. It starts rough. And the new characters are, I just don't know how you get rid of Andrea and Luke and then have the new, like, I just wanted more episodes right away because the best part of it was Kyle does a bunch of solo scenes in the kitchen by himself again. And it's hysterical, but it's like Kyle is doing heavy lifting already in this first episode.
Wait, tell me more about it. Like what else was rough about it?
I don't know what I'm allowed. I don't, See, like, it sets up stuff for, like, the rest of the season should be amazing, but the whole thing is what we kind of see in the preview is, like, Lindsay and Carl are together, Amanda. So you have all of these couples, kind of, and then it's mainly girls. There's all new girls. They only bring in one new guy. He has a big toothy smile, really nice guy, but like Carl's like sober and he's really like doing that amazing Carl stuff. Lindsay, you know, Lindsay's already rubbing the girls wrong. And Kyle is kind of lost because he feels like he's losing his best friend, which he never thought he would feel. And it's really sad right off the jump. Like there were like moments where I was like super bummed, but then, you know, there's so many good places it's going to go. And like a lot of the cast isn't even there in this episode. So it's just really weird. It's really, really weird. Vanderpump Rules by comparison is really funny and fun. And Peter, it makes me laugh very much in the first episode. Peter Madrigal makes a big comeback. And
we love Peter.
I'm gonna text you something. So I think that's gonna be amazing. It was just really like, I realized how much I've depended on like Summer House and shows like that for my own happiness. And I just wasn't prepared to be sad after watching Summer House last night. So just prepare yourself, guys. I mean, it's completely worth watching. It just made me sad.
I'm so curious. I think, I want you to tell me like offline if you can't like share anything on the air. Yeah. But I got weird vibes from like the trailer. I did.
Yeah, dude, that's what you said when we were on 2 weeks ago. And like, it is true. Like it, but I will say there's a lot of stuff that they have set up where you were like, oh, this is going to pay off big. Like this will be, but it's just not like they start where it's like summer is fun. Like you feel like everybody's like trudging into the summer. Like everybody is. And I truly, and it's weird. I had Kyle on this week and like it was mainly for the Traitors, which is on Peacock right now. But I threw in a couple of things and I threw like, are you and Carl okay? And like, it was kind of danced around. And then after watching this, I'm like, I wonder if they are okay. Like, I wonder, there was just, it just like, there was something when I talked to him that I was like, oh, something seems, I don't know. We'll see what happens. I really don't know what happens. But did you on Rugged season 4, which you were talking about earlier, Ultimate Girls Trip season 4, Brandy got sent home. Well, Brandy got sent home and Caroline Manzo got sent home, but Caroline got sent home. She let herself go. She was given the option and she decided to leave. But Brandy, there's so many rumors going around about this, so I want to be careful talking about it. But these only shoot for like 9 days, I believe. So everybody else came home today. They just came home like a day and a half early. But Brandy being Brandy, supposedly did something really crazy to Caroline, but they didn't get into a physical fight. There wasn't like fists thrown from what I'm hearing. But Brandy, think about what she did on Girls Trip season 2. Think about the tactic she used in that upset people. What I'm hearing is she used another tactic like that. If it's a tactic or it's just her, I don't know. And Caroline just went crazy from what I understand, but I'm not sure.
She like gets in people's faces. She knows exactly what to say to like get under your skin and take it too far. And I can see women that have not been around that. And also like Caroline Manzo and Alex McCord, for instance, have been so out of the game for so long at this point. Like you're putting yourself back in that like the most toxic situation you could possibly put yourself
and
in with this cast.
Brandy wants to earn a living. So like Caroline and Alex are going up against somebody like that is like in the, like somebody that's on steroids almost. Like she is trained to kill. Like Brandy wants to be back on Beverly Hills so bad and she's celebrated for her bad behavior. So I don't know, like these women walking in, like, I just don't think, I'm shocked Alex was still there. Alex made it through the whole time, but like, yeah, like Caroline was just like, I don't need this shit. There was rumors that Brandy threw out the name Dina, Caroline's sister. Brandy pays attention to housewives. She's like a Tamara in that way where she pays attention to everything. So I don't know, like, where do you fall on that? Like with housewives in the future, you have all of these women wanting to get back on the show that they do. Like Kelly Dodd says the gnarliest shit out there, but like it takes away from actually getting to know any of these women sometimes. Like I like Brandy sometimes, but then sometimes I'm like, dude, it's too, I can only take her in doses.
Yeah, I do like Brandy. I think that there is such a thin line between like, you are trying to put on a show because this is your job. You're getting paid to entertain viewers versus like being so thirsty and producing, like we were talking about with Heather, for instance.
Yeah.
I don't know. I do enjoy watching Brandy. I think that Tamara will be an interesting litmus test for this because she was someone that was, like we talked about, at the end of her reign on OC, she was like so overly produced and so not fun to watch anymore. And all like during the off season, I'm still in sports mode, you guys. I'm just sporty. During the off season, like when she like wasn't on Housewives for a couple of years, she made it her mission to get back on Housewives with the podcast, Two Twats in a Pod. What do you call it?
No, it's called Twats. I mean, the official title is Two T's in the Pod, but it's Twats.
Two Twats in a Pod. I like that better. So two twats in a Pod. Like, I think Tamara will be an interesting litmus test because she could be so like desperate seeming and very like producer role, which we don't want to see. Or she could just be genuinely naturally entertaining. I don't know.
It's Rinna as well. Rinna did the same thing.
Yes,
it's like these ladies get to a point where they're so celebrated for being maniacs that they don't know how to really actually be real anymore. Like you have to like show a little bit of realness to actually earn being insane, if that makes sense, on these shows. And I feel like these people watch these shows now too much. And I'm talking about the cast members where they don't come up with original things. They're literally using it like a game like Survivor where they're going to be like, I'm going to bring up your family or I'm going to try to hit on you and get you upset. I'm going to try, like they try to do things that will needle the other person to get a reaction. And so then it's not fun. I don't think any of these older ladies that not older ladies, but ladies that are OG that have not been back in a long time, like Caroline, I don't think there's any reason for them to really truly come back unless they're really down on their luck, because why do this to yourself and your family?
Right. I don't know. Yeah.
What did you think? I didn't get to ask you, and I didn't check your Twitter that day, or I should have, but like, what did you think about the lion's head on Kylie and the, cause I've heard so many different opinions about these shows. And one was like, oh, that's disgusting. And one was, look at the beautiful detail work. It wasn't a real lion she was wearing as a brooch on her dress. But it was funny because there was that one video of Kylie watching the other lady with the same lion's head. Irina Shayk, did you see that video where Kylie was like, oh, I didn't realize there'd be another person with the exact same lion head on her brooch?
It was on the runway.
Yes,
right?
Yeah. Irina Shayk came down with the same lion head and Kylie was like, what?
At first, okay, so like I knew right away, it looked so realistic, but I knew right away it wasn't real, that it was just like a very, very detailed replica of a lion's head. So it's like no lion was harmed, but I think right away I was like, it's kind of weird because you're like glorifying like a dead animal's head. Like that's kind of weird. And then like a lot of people were like, well, actually, it's really showing that you don't need to kill animals to get these heads if you're into that kind of thing. Because look, they didn't even have to kill a lion to get this exact detailed.
I remember back in the old days, if I wanted to wear a lion's head, I had to get one. I had to go poach an animal. I had to go do the hard way.
You had to poach it yourself. Yeah, they're like, who? Because at first I had that thought where I was like, you're just going to like influence people to like poach. And people are like, who is Kylie Jenner influencing to go poaching in the African Sahara?
that's the new TART influencer trip is like, come poach with us. Like you see all your favorite TikTokers animal hunt. Like, by the way, I'm joking, obviously, you guys, but
wait, we're joking, but like that actually is hilarious to think about.
I mean, that's a movie right there. They get lost in the jungle trying to poach, and then they end up having to really fight. It's like a Yellow Jackets then. They have to like fight for their lives.
Wait, it's like the hashtag is like poaching with Tart.
Patarochin. Patarochin. I don't know. That's a great, that's a really great idea. We actually might have just come up with like a movie idea.
Oh my God.
Speaking of, no, well, actually, also the other thing that I thought was funny was, and I made a meme of this, of like how many times Kylie grabs her boobs in her, like it's one of her signature like poses, like grabbing her boobs. And then she like had, like now she's smoking, you guys, and she had a, like a cigarette and touching her boobs. And I love that, like, what is Kylie, like 24, 25? Like, I love that Kylie's going through a smoking cigarettes phase. Like, it's just funny. Like, we all go through these phases in our lives. It's just that, like, hers is so public when she does even like the littlest things. And I'm like, well, that's cute, Kylie. And it's, cigarette's not cute, but it's cute that she's going through a cigarette phase.
I don't like that cigarettes are suddenly making a comeback personally. Not loving that. Not loving that.
I don't mean like, let's all smoke, but I just think it's funny that.
I know. Like, as, I'm like, just saying, in general, I feel like all of a sudden smoking cigarettes is like trendy again. When did that happen?
Because everybody's sick of the vaping. So now they're, it's like everybody going back to vinyl. Like everybody's going back to the original way to listen to music with vinyl. And I think the same thing with potentially vaping. What did you think of this Doja Cat? This Doja Cat really loves to put on the costumes.
Oh, I've been loving it. I saw someone kind of compare her to like 2010's Lady Gaga, which is, feel like that's a fair comparison. We need someone who takes those fashion risks and puts on a show, and I love it. I'm into it.
But didn't the red, like Swarovski, how do you say it? Swarovski crystal? Swarovski? Like it was like 10,000 crystals and she was like painted red. Show your dude this. Like show your dude and go, like just ask him, like, does this scare the crap out of you? Because it scared the crap out of me. Like, I keep thinking about her red, bald, with the crystals all over.
But she's not doing it for straight men. She's doing it for, like, fashion.
Wait, what? What are you talking about? She's not doing it. And also, the other one, she had, like, she dresses the dude with a little pencil-thin mustache.
She was using falsies, like, fake eyelashes for, like, her mustache. It was so funny. It was, like, funny. She's not catering to the male gaze. That's feminism.
That's a great point.
Emily Ratajkowski would never. She would never.
Wait, Emily Ratajkowski she's like dating Eric Andre. They went on like another date.
Yeah, I'm into that. I like that for her. But yeah, no, Emily Ratajkowski is just an example I use as someone who talks a big game, but at the same time is constantly pandering to the male gaze. Constantly. Oh,
dude. She's made the majority, like the Daily Mail, there's been so many, like, it's like every day it's a different bikini with Emily Ratajkowski, even from the beginning. Like, I knew about her. We all, like, started knowing about her because of the Blurred Lines video, Robin Thicke. And then ever then, I remember she was, like, weekly in the Daily Mail in a new bikini. And I'm sure it's, like, her playing, like, you know, Rocket Man by Elton John. It's one of her greatest hits. But at a certain point, I just think we get like, okay, it's another bikini. Like, I become totally desensitized to it.
Yeah. Well, okay. So to be fair, she has a bikini line, like a company, a brand.
What's it called?
Bikinis. Inamorata. Inamorata is her brand. I haven't bought anything from it. I have thought that it's like really cute, but it's like overpriced a little bit for like a little string bikini. I'm like, I don't need to spend like, you know, $150 on a bikini. But okay, so there's that. Just getting that out of the way. It's like she's always wearing a bikini. She also is trying to sell them. So like, that's fine. She apparently on her like one of her most recent podcast episodes, I haven't listened to it, but I was like reading about it online, and apparently she like is talking about the paparazzi, how the paparazzi are always like following her and chasing her, and like the Daily Mail stories. I'm like, Emily, how does Beyonce go under the radar? Like, you never are like seeing Daily Mail stories of Beyonce. You're never like seeing the paparazzi shots of Beyonce and Jay-Z on date nights.
You see it like occasionally from other people of like, yo, Beyonce and Jay-Z were at this restaurant I was just at. They just walked in.
Yeah.
Yes, but not the professional paparazzi shots with a whole feature in the Daily Mail. We're on to you. We're on to you, Emily.
Yeah. She's the Bronwyn Wyndham Burke of supermodels. I'm joking. Also, just really, as we start winding down, this is already going way too quick. I was thinking about this, and I don't want to get into the Kardashians, but I do want to bring up, you just mentioned Beyonce, and I was thinking about the Dubai concert she got paid $24 million for, and Blue Ivy even came out for one of the songs. Now, I'm not going to talk about really like if she should have done it because of the LGBTQ policies that Dubai have in place that really are completely unfair and they need to abolish those. But what I do want to say is that interesting, and I'm just thinking about Blue Ivy, is that you know how North does so many TikToks? Like it's her thing. Like she loves doing it. Like her mom does with her. Kim and North do TikToks. You just have a feeling Beyonce would like fucking freak out if Blue Ivy ever picked up TikTok. You know what I'm saying? Like if you compare the two, and I'm not saying one's worse than the other. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying it's very reminiscent of how, think about how they got their fame to begin with. Beyonce got her fame by really working at the craft of singing, dancing, all of that stuff. Kim worked the craft of celebrity. She worked so like North is already so visible to the eye in terms of pop culture, whereas Blue Ivy is so restrained, but her mom is also restrained. Her mom does like secret album releases. Her mom, like you said, isn't calling Backgrid to do photo shoots at a restaurant. And I just think it's interesting, even looking at their kids. And like I said, I'm not saying one is better than the other. It's just interesting that their moms represent who I think their kids are also taking notes from. And if you see Blue Ivy and North, it's very different in the way they walk through entertainment so far, which I know is insane to say because they're kids, but they both obviously want to be a part of pop culture, or they seem to be. Like Blue Ivy wants to be up on stage to a degree, and North loves TikTok and wants to be a part of pop culture.
How old is North now? I guess she turns 10 this year, right?
Yeah, 10, yeah.
She's 9 going on 10. That still is crazy to me. I mean, I assume she shares the account with her mom, with Kim.
Yeah, her mom approves everything that she, you know, posts and all that stuff, but she still lets her post it.
It's still like, it's sad.
It's weird.
She's only nine years old. You don't need to be on social media this early in life. Please do yourself a favor. That's why I totally understand. I support a Blue Ivy not being on social media until she's like 18.
But I like that Blue Ivy, like, this is so sad. I like that Blue Ivy picks her moments. Like, she's like, Dubai concert? Sure, I'll do a song with mom. Like, I like that, like, she's very, or her parents are very picky for her. I like the fact that Jay-Z, I don't know, it's just something that I was trying to like think of the two, because they're very reminiscent in like terms of popularity, but it's just very different in how they got there, Kim and Beyonce. And if you look down at other generations of both of these families, it'll be really interesting to see both of them grow up. I think it's going to be fascinating and hopefully not as scary as I think it possibly could.
We'll see.
Sophie, huge news for you, for all of us. March 24th and March 26th, mark it down in your calendars. We have Yellow Jackets Season 2 premiering March 24th on Showtime and March 26th, Succession Season 4. So they both drop that same weekend. You were like, and then we'll have those shows for the next 2 months. And I am so, so excited. Did you watch the Succession preview this week?
I'm so excited. I watched the preview like 4 times in a row because it was so funny.
Yeah. It makes me happy.
I'm so ready for Succession.
Yeah, no, I'm so, mark your calendars, guys. I think that's going to be amazing. What are you working on for the Substack this week? Are you going to talk about the joys and heartbreaks of being a fan?
Oh my God, I actually have such an ADHD Substack that I'm in the middle of writing, and I'm writing about 25 different things. So you're going to have to see, let me actually open the doc that I am working in right now.
And the Hannah Ann Sluss from The Bachelor got engaged this week.
Yes, she did get engaged. Okay, so Alec Baldwin officially charged with
Rust,
with involuntary manslaughter for the Rust shooting. And I read a really interesting New York Times article about the fact that he completely fucked himself, even though he is guilty. He is guilty. Yeah. It's clear that he did something wrong.
He pulled the trigger, involuntary manslaughter.
he did not have to talk to the police without a lawyer present. He talked to the police. He probably thought, I'm a celebrity. Like, there's not actually going to be consequences. He talked to the police for hours without a lawyer present. And that article is a New York Times article, was super interesting. It's like, never, ever, it doesn't matter if you're guilty or innocent or thought you did nothing wrong or just want to help. Never talk to the police without a lawyer.
Even the Idaho killer, even the Idaho killer was like, you know what? I'm going to stop talking to you right now. Like, you know, like even he was like, I'm not going to talk to you guys any further after the first question.
Right. Like, it's just, I imagine that he was probably like, oh, it's not. I mean, I was just handed the gun. I just want to help out. I don't know. I'm not, I don't pretend to know what's going on in Alec Baldwin's chaotic mind. But like, just never talk to the police, even if you're trying to help. And also that video of Hilaria, she was like still to this day.
So,
as the accent.
So, like, it's gained strength. Like it's like a fire. Like it just, it's gotten stronger than I gave up on the Hilaria stuff like a year ago. And now I thought it had gone away, but it came back with a vengeance. And know what? I think you actually, because you get into a lot of discourse and discussions with actual people. Like I posted that video and now on Instagram, it has 1.3 million views on the Hilaria video I posted. Everybody's posted it, but like this one got 1.3 million. And you know what's really disheartening is like I even say in this, I'm not talking about kids being followed by paparazzi. She is right. They should not do that. What I'm talking about is the accent, how strong it is. And I thought, and people don't ever, but then it's like, I'm still to this day, every day I'm getting at least 100 hate comments towards Hilaria and 100 hate comments towards people that hate Hilaria. And like, these people are just fighting and going at it in the comments. And I'm like, I don't even interact anymore, but every, like, I'm just like, holy fuck. Like, I don't, it's because none of it's like smart discourse. None of it's like, it's just really base, like, oh, I fucking hate her, send her back to Spain, or I fucking, and it's really, it gets sad on a whole nother level than the accent itself. Does it make sense?
Right, right. Yes, it definitely makes sense. All of it is just bizarre. And it's more bizarre when you think about the fact that they have 70 children. And a newborn, just like at
I forgot it was 70.
So the one that was just born is Hilaria with an I, Hilaria, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's not pregnant again yet.
Like, yet. I mean, let's see what happens to Allie.
Okay. But yeah. So yeah.
Would you ever, like, she was doing these messages on her shirt, like it said empathy and like these words. Is there a word that you would put on a shirt that would, like, I wish I could walk around New York with this and it would explain who I am as a person or what I want people to be to me? I just figured you would have an answer for this where you would be like, I would write girl boss on my sweatshirt, or I would write, like, is there a word? And how many words is Hilaria going to keep having printed on sweatshirts?
The fact that she has the audacity to wear a sweatshirt that says empathy. She was wearing another one. What was the other one that she was wearing? I don't know. But either way, your husband is literally getting charged for killing someone. How do you think that family feels? Like, I mean, what about empathy for them?
But do you think, Alec, because it was a week ago that she posted this, it was like a week ago Friday that this happened. And so like 10 days have passed and she's kind of chilled out this week. And do you think Alec was like, yo, you're not helping shit. Like, yo, like, was like, do you think he told her in Spanish of like, please chill out, Hilaria. Like, this is not helping my case right now. People are like actually more upset about the accent than what I did potentially. She went quiet. So hopefully she's kind of paying attention that it might not be the smartest to be like giving statements to anybody.
I wonder that every day. Like, what were those conversations like? Those early days of Alec finding out that Hilaria isn't from Spain. Like, what were those, like, does he just, like, still let her, like...
Yes, he does. He lets her, like, be Spanish. He just lets her do that. He's like, if I all of a sudden decided I was Megan, the android robot, like, and then I found somebody that was willing to let me be like, you know, if you ever watched those My Strange Addictions on like they have this horrible show, like somebody ate a couch cushion, like they, like mine would be like, hers is like lying to the public about Spain. And he just accepted it. But there was a time where he must not have known, because he was going on talk shows and he was like, and he was doing his wife's like humongous accents. And then if you watch those old clips from her, it really is worth watching, because she was going on things like teaching people how to flamenco dance. And like, it's like, it's a huge, huge thing. Like, that's why people don't realize, like, it's fascinating how somebody would do this for so long and not be called out on it.
I know. It's hilarious. It's wild.
I hope she doesn't get sent back to
My family lives in Mallorca.
Wait, by the way, you guys are like, also people are so misinformed. They're like, well, she grew up in Spain. I'm like, she did not grow up in Spain. She went to vacation in Spain. She was never enrolled in school in Spain. You guys, her parents did vacation in Spain, and her parents do. They're in Mallorca right now, but they did not grow up in Spain. Like, it's like, I went to Hawaii once. I don't think I'm like from, like, the elders are not like, it's, I'm not Jen Shah. Look at the elders in Hawaii, you know?
Right.
Exactly. But finally, so to close this out, we just got word today, Page Six says the Roni Legacy reboot with all like Dorinda and Luann is not going to happen now. It is becoming too costly in terms of what the ladies want. I personally think, like, everybody's already going that this is gospel. Guys, we got to quit this shit. Like, Page Six, like, they, you know, corporations will put these things in there just so they can use it as a bargaining tactic and freak these ladies out potentially. Like, I think Roni Legacy is going to completely happen. Do you read this stuff and kind of laugh too? Or are you like, holy shit?
No, I genuinely was like, I wouldn't be surprised if it doesn't happen.
I mean,
like, I just don't think it, I don't think that what the women, the original women have turned into in terms of like what they want out of a contract, like, is it worth it? Is it worth it for Bravo to fork over like the millions that they're probably demanding? I believe
I believe that Bravo is putting this out there so it'll put them on their heels. So by the time they do agree to filming, it's going to be at a less price and their egos are going to take a hit. And it's going to be funny because it's going to be all these ladies kind of like wanting to be good again. And I think that's fascinating from a different angle. I just think these ladies are too popular to not have them come back. But I think Bravo will not pay a certain price. So I think they're going to meet somewhere in the middle. I just think this is a tactic used in negotiation to freak the other side out. I think this will definitely happen.
You're probably right.
Sophie, when's So True coming back for the third season?
TBD, you guys. TBD.
Fuck! Are you kidding me?
I know, I'm sorry. I started my new job a couple months ago. I've been like getting settled. Super, super busy. But stay tuned, you guys.
Is it going good?
You'll be the first note. Yeah, it's going great. But yeah, I've just
your old company is floundering without you. I saw some copy the other day. I was like, this isn't Sophie copy. Are you kidding me?
I know they're really struggling. But no, I'm kidding, obviously. But yeah, you guys will be the first to know. Sorry if I was like a little down this episode.
I expected her to be way more down. So this actually,
I feel like my voice has been very like it's been very like shaky. I feel like I'm like on the verge of tears. Like as soon as we hang up, I'm gonna like burst into tears.
Okay. So we're going to go. You guys have a great week. We'll be doing episodes all week and I will talk to you. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Okay. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bengals. Betches.